My commentary on the book of Ruth, Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 through to 22. Now, we just saw in the last section that Ruth was committing herself to Naomi. She was going to cling to Naomi. And so what she says next is very important. And the words that she says that express her commitment are actually covenantal words. They are words that speak like a covenant. As a matter of fact, a lot of weddings use these words in their vows because they are words of covenant. Let's see how Ruth expresses herself to Naomi in verse 16. But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." Verse 17 says, "Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you from me." Now, what Ruth was really saying here, the words of covenant that she was saying, was really in obedience to the law of Moses, because the law of Moses permitted a Gentile to become a Jew. If a Gentile wanted to become an Israeli, he had to basically say these words. He had to forsake his paganism. He had to be committed to the Israelis and committed to Yahweh. And this is exactly what Ruth was saying. She was forsaking her paganism for sure, even though she might have actually forsaken it years ago. She was reaffirming her commitment, not only to looking after Naomi, but to being an Israeli and being a worshiper of Yahweh. And nothing was going to change this. She would keep this covenant, this commitment, until she was buried in the ground. And if that ever changed, she said, "May the Lord deal with me very severely." She was saying, "I am totally yours, Naomi. I am totally an Israeli now, and I totally belong to Yahweh." In thinking in New Testament terms, this is the commitment that people need when they come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a commitment that really in these last days is beginning to be less and less. It's almost seldom seen when people supposedly come to Jesus and say such words of commitment. When you become a Christian, you are actually entering into God's covenant. You're not making a covenant with God, but you're entering into His covenant. And you should be saying exactly what Ruth is saying. You should be saying, "I forsake my paganism. I forsake my worldliness. I forsake all that I have been. And now I hand my life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. I hand my life over to Him, knowing that I'm not just joining myself to Jesus, I'm joining myself to other people who have given their lives to Jesus. I am joining the family of God. I am becoming a part of what we call the church." Now, that is a commitment that few people make these days. Few people even understand that when they give their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not just giving their life to Jesus, they're actually giving their life to the body of Christ, the church. And because they don't realize it, we have all sorts of divisions and nastiness within the body of Christ. But we should have this commitment to Jesus and to his people until we are buried into the ground. And we should think as Ruth thought and said, if we ever change our mind on these points, may the Lord deal with us very severely. But you know, that is seldom taught these days, and therefore such words are seldom heard amongst Christians. That's a sad fact of the modern day church. The text goes on, verse 18, when Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. She gave up. Verse 19, so the two women went until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, can this be Naomi? When Naomi returns, all the women of Bethlehem were really excited to see her. Remember, they had been gone at least 10 years, according to the earlier verse here in chapter 1. Verse 20 reads, don't call me Naomi, she told them. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. Mara means bitter. And so one of the first things Naomi says to her friends back home, please don't call me Naomi. Naomi means pleasant. Don't call me pleasant because I'm no longer, well, she might have not said, I no longer am pleasant, but her life is no longer pleasant. Her life has become bitter. And again, she says it's because of the Almighty. And again, I believe what Naomi is saying is true. Her life has become bitter, and her life became bitter because of the discipline of the Lord on her family. The discipline was so strong that God ended up, and I do believe this, he killed Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon, the two sons. This was God's judgment on this family for moving outside the will of the Lord. Now, the righteous person in the family, who was Naomi, her life was spared. Her life was spared even though her family was judged. This is an important thing to understand here. Note the word Almighty. In Hebrew, that's El Shaddai. El is the generic name for God, which all pagan civilizations used back then. Shaddai means the breasted one. El Shaddai suggests, at least to many theologians, that God nourishes his people like a mother nourishes, breastfeeds her children. Many theologians view God as El Shaddai in human terms, and strictly in human terms, as being the female aspect to God. They say God in human terms is both male and female, and because of this, he created man, as it says in Genesis 1, to be male and female in his likeness. Now, I'm not saying that God is male and female. I think he's something altogether different. But he has the characteristics of human maleness and human femaleness. And we were created in those characteristics. Verse 21 says, I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. This tells me something about Naomi's family, about Elimelech. He went away full. In my imagination, I see this family leaving Bethlehem in a small caravan of all of their possessions. See, they're leaving because there is a famine in the land, and I believe they were wealthy. They were taking their wealth with them out of the land God provided for them into a pagan Gentile land. I believe that was outside the will of God. They went for, I believe, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, was putting his trust in his own riches. That's evident by the fact they left full. And now Naomi is returning empty. Naomi, again, probably had very little say in the matter of them leaving Bethlehem. And I bet you when she left Bethlehem, her lady friends, as we have just seen, who were excited about her return, they were pretty sad. It was a pretty sad day when they left with all of their possessions. Naomi continues by saying, "Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." And I believe that's the case. And I think we can see something here. The Lord can bring misfortune on a society where his people live. And some of those people in the society may even die. For example, Katrina, 9/11. His people may die, might not die, but they will feel the effects of God's judgment on that society. I believe that is one real lesson we can learn here. Verse 22, saying, "So Naomi returned from Moab and accompanied by Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning." Most people believe the barley harvest, they say, this would have been around the time of the Feast of Pentecost, around the time of the year when the day of Pentecost came to God's people in Acts chapter 2, and there is some spiritual significance to this. For more information, you can visit my website, stevesweetman.com.